The more you can practice it daily, the more you will come to know yourself, reconnect with yourself, really find out who you are now, because it's almost like the clock stops. You started having kids in your 20s or 30s, fast forward, you know, 20, 25 years, you are not that same person. Some, you know, often you got lost in that process.
Hey, midlifers, welcome to the Midlife Makeover Show. Are you ready to break free from your mundane midlife? Are you feeling trapped in a vicious cycle of rinse and repeat days? No matter if you're experiencing a divorce hangover, job burnout, or you just have the midlife blues, I got you. Hey, I'm Wendy, your hostess of the Midlife Mostess. I too was hit by midlife like a freight train. I too felt stuck in the same dull chapter. I wanted the clarity of how to create a new life beyond divorce and the courage to leave an unfulfilling career. But I kept telling myself that I wasn't worthy and it was just easier to stay in my comfort zone. Until I found a little secret, the freedom to live my life my way. In this podcast, you will learn how to achieve a vibrant midlife mind and body, how to create solid relationships through love and loss, and how to create an awesome second half of life. Grab your grande latte, pop in your earbuds, and let's get this midlife party started. Hi, I'm Wendy Valentine, host of the Midlife Makeover Show. I started this podcast to help you navigate the challenges of midlife with grace, grit, and gratitude. Whether it's dealing with a divorce, changing careers, or the birdies leaving the nest, I've got your back. And hey, I've got your vagina too. As someone who has experienced the trials of menopause, I understand how frustrating it can be to be overwhelmed with hot flashes, brain fog, and joint pain. That's why I'm thrilled to introduce today's sponsor, Parlor Games, the leading ladies of menopause dedicated to saving the world one vagina at a time. Between their vibrant third cream that nurtures your brain, bones, and boobs, to their silky peach cream that relieves your dry, itchy vagina, Parlor Games provides the science, solutions, and sisterhood you need during menopause. As a listener of the Midlife Makeover Show, you can get 10% off your first order by visiting menopause.wendyvalentine.com and use code MAKEOVER. Welcome to the Midlife Makeover Show. I'm your host, Wendy Valentine, and today we're diving into an exciting journey of self-discovery and transformation, my fave. In this episode, we're exploring how to fill your heart and soul when the nest is empty. We will talk about how to shift your focus from kids and family to Y-O-U. It's all about following the breadcrumbs to your desires and passions and embracing the vibrant life that awaits in midlife, the best phase of life. Our special guest is Allie Hill, a remarkable woman who turned her empty nest into a nest of opportunities. After her daughter left for college, Allie found herself feeling lonely and purposeless. But instead of staying stuck, she redefined her purpose by getting back to writing, launching a blog, becoming a certified coach, and ultimately feeling happy and fulfilled again. You followed the breadcrumbs for sure. Allie is the author of The Girlfriend's Guide to Empty Nesting and a coach and speaker dedicated to helping empty nest moms navigate their next chapter. With over 15 years of experience as a journalist and certifications from the Life Coach School, Martha Beck, love her, and Danielle Laporte, me too, Allie brings a wealth of knowledge and insight to our conversation. So, whether you're an empty nester or simply looking to focus more on Y-O-U, this episode is packed with inspiration and practical advice to help you embrace your passions and live a life filled with joy and purpose. Please welcome Allie to the show.
Thanks, Wendy. Wow. Mic drop. I feel like I don't even need to say anything else.
Yeah, we can just like end the show right here. You know what's funny though? I used to record the intro before the interview started. But then it was kind of like we would just like jump right in. And now it's nice because then you're like, oh, yes. Is that me you're talking about? It's amazing. Hello.
It's that's true. I just feel like I was marinating in compliments and achievements. Wow.
Yeah, I was interviewed on a podcast. It was like months ago, and someone did that for me, and they read my bio. I was like, damn, who is that woman? Like, who are they talking about? I want to meet her. I was like, oh, it's me. Isn't that amazing?
I know. Joking.
So yeah, so welcome, welcome, welcome. This is great. We've only had maybe three episodes on empty nesting, which is surprising. And we talk about menopause like crazy around here. But empty nest, why do you feel it's such an important topic?
I feel almost exactly, you already said it. We're not talking about it enough.
Yeah.
I feel like it's the one thing that in midlife, as women, when we go through this phase, it's like, it's not that it's a secret. We just haven't addressed it as a society, as a culture, as women. And I'm here to shine a light on it.
Yes. And you know what? As we all know, times have changed. It's not like when our moms had the empty nest. Like back then, it was kind of like the whole like, okay, you raise the children and then you're done. And then you wait till your husband retires. And then you just go, you know, we wait for the grandkids to arrive. Exactly. It's like, oh my gosh. I mean, if you think about it, okay, so I'm 51. I'm planning on living until I'm 111. I'm going to do it. But if you think about it, I'm like, less than halfway, right? There's a whole other life to live, a huge, big, chunky chapter to create, to write. And to me, that's like, we forget our power and our strengths and of what we can do in our 50s and our 60s and our 70s. And I even told you earlier, Martha Stewart, right? Martha Stewart, she didn't start until she was 50.
Is that right? Was she 50 when she started? Wow.
Yeah. I saw her, I think it was on like a masterclass advertisement or something like that. And she was saying, she's like that she was 50 years old. I was like, oh my gosh. And look at her now.
I know. She's cover of Sports Illustrated and like hanging out with Snoop Dogg. I love it.
I know. Exactly. Yeah. So how do you get to that point of like, okay, I want to do this. I want to do like, if you're like, all right, the nest is empty and you're sitting there on the couch and going, well, now what? I've raised the kids. And I actually want to say that I saw on your website that you almost feel like you got fired from a job when the kids leave the nest, right? You're like, okay, I just got fired. I'm sitting here by myself.
Yeah.
Now what?
Well, exactly. Yeah. So two things. Number one, I almost called my book, Now What? Because I think that's exactly the question that everyone's asking. And number two, what I hear from my friends and clients, and certainly I felt, yeah, you feel fired, but you also got fired for a job that you're really good at. You didn't get fired because you weren't like really, you know, knocking it out of the park. So that's a bit insulting. You know, that feels like, insult to injury. Like what?
It's kind of like, oh, okay, I guess we're done here.
Thanks for nothing. I'll let the, you know, door hit me on the way out.
Yeah.
I think it's really, first of all, I always say this, feel those feelings. Whatever comes up for you, number one, it's valid. It's normal, sad, grieving, uncertainty, elation. Like, it's not always, you know, negative, but for those who are struggling, feel those emotions, get quiet, be willing to do that, mm-hmm. and then take a pause and slowly, slowly, slowly try to turn the telescope, if you will, on yourself. It's always been on your kids. It's always been on the family. It's always been for others. For a moment, take a pause and think, okay, what does Allie want? Like asking yourself powerful questions. Really
key. Yes, which can be tough.
Yeah.
I mean, just actually focusing on yourself.
Yeah.
Interestingly, can be tough, right? Because I mean, that's all about self-care. Yeah. And we feel, especially as women, that, okay, well, I'm being selfish if I'm focusing on myself.
Right. I don't know where we learned that, but it's a very old paradigm and it's an old thought that I don't think serves us or our families, by the way, or anybody else. So no, exquisite self-care should be normalized. And in order to get there, though, we have to take baby steps. So I often go through a little step process with my clients where I'm like, okay, maybe you need to just decide, are you a tea drinker or a coffee drinker? Mm-hmm. You know, let's start from the beginning. Do you like showers or baths? So much was down to the convenience factor and what was just easiest and fastest and didn't impact my family that they forget what they really like. And
yes.
Yeah.
I'm so glad you said that. It made me think of the movie Runaway Bride. Did you ever see that with Julia Roberts?
Oh, yeah. Ages ago.
Of course, she like as a runaway bride, she kept running away at the altar. And someone had asked her, the actor that was in that movie, I can't think of it. But anyways, super cute guy.
Yeah.
That's all I remember.
Not McDermott. I can't think. But anyway. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, anyways, so he asked her, he's like, he's like kind of like making fun of her. He's like, you probably don't even know what type of eggs you like. And she's like, well, of course I do. But then she discovered that she changed what type of eggs she liked with each guy. So it was scrambled and hard boiled and this. And then so towards the end of the movie, she's like, I don't remember what it was, but scrambled eggs with cheese on top or something like that. We do like with our kids and with our partners that we like end up, okay, well, I'm going to do this because this is what the family needs. And this is what they like. And then you do have to kind of ask yourself, well, what do I like?
Right. Not through the lens of the family and convenience, but what really do. And that's an uncomfortable question, but the more you can practice it daily, the more you will come to know yourself, reconnect with yourself, really find out who you are now, because it's almost like the clock stops. You started having kids in your 20s or 30s, fast forward, you know, 20, 25 years, you are not that same person. Some, you know, often you got lost in that process.
Yeah. Were there any limiting beliefs for you that creeped in when you were like, okay, I want to do this, but.
Oh, thousands. Yes. All of them. It's funny. I'm just writing a talk on limiting beliefs without calling it limiting beliefs.
I know. Good for you. Let me know when you decide to phrase it
I mean, because I think limiting beliefs, but maybe not everybody, you know, we know it, it's in our space, but just a thought that we've thought many, many times over and over again, that has now become a belief that we have adopted. So for sure, I thought that there's no way I'm going to start a career in my late 40s. Like, who does that? I mean, I come from, I think it's a good thing. Nobody probably watches me in my neighborhood. It's a golf and tennis and relaxation and, you know, a very much a, we did the hard work. Now we're going to sit back and relax. And that's beautiful because that works for most of my peers, and most of the people I've known for my life. But I knew that I always wanted to do something else. I didn't know what. I always hoped it would be a book. You know, then life coaching kind of came on my radar, but I knew I wasn't going to just sail into that good night without doing something. Please let me
going to book parties or wine parties, right? Like that. You're like, there's more to me in there. Yeah.
And I love those times too. So not to negate, you know, any of that. I knew there would be something else. I didn't know what. So that's where you start. You start playing with things, whether it's mind mapping, you know, putting a little, your name in the circle, you know, Allie or Wendy or whatever your name, and then putting little spokes out and saying, okay, could I be a gardener? Could I be a chef? Could I, what did I used to like? I used to like tennis. You have to start somewhere on putting these ideas.
And I don't think there's a bad direction that you can go because that's how you like talk about like following the breadcrumbs. Well, you have to eat a little bit. You have to, you know, right? In order to follow the breadcrumbs, you got to pick up those breadcrumbs. You got to like, maybe I'll sample this. Maybe I'll try that. And if you figure out that you don't like it, that's totally okay, but it will lead you to something else. Right. And it'll also teach you, well, you didn't like that. So be it. Nothing's a waste of time, you know, I don't feel.
No. I mean, if we learned anything in 2020, it's the word pivot. And I think that following the breadcrumbs, you know, that concept of keeping an open mind and really leading with curiosity. So seeing what things spark your interest is a huge, huge key to this. Mm-hmm. And following it. And to your point, Wendy, trying it, going all in, like not just like kind of trying it, but trying it. And if it's not for you, it's just data. It's just information. And the good news is cross that off your list and go to the next thing. Absolutely.
And you never know either, like the people that you'll meet, the relationships that you, I mean, oh my God, when I think back, like we were talking about, like even I got certified at the Chopra Center and yoga and Danielle Laporte's Desire Map and Louise Hay, Heal Your Life, all this. And I look back at those, I've met so many amazing people. And even if it's something, I mean, some way it's always, you know, applied in what I do right now, but I apply it in my personal life. And then even getting certified in coaching, like all of that. Oh my gosh. Like the experiences are just awesome. But no,
so true. Like 2017, I certified with Martha Beck, but I didn't go on to start coaching till 2020. I used that mindset work solely for me.
Yeah.
Opening my mind, opening my world, and great, you know, met some really lovely people.
Yeah. Yeah, you'll never know what you'll discover about yourself. And it's kind of like, I don't think of it as an onion because that doesn't taste very good sometimes. An artichoke, right? Like you peel back the layers and you get to the heart of you. And so that, what I feel like when you're really leaping out into new experiences, you're peeling back those layers, you're getting to the core of who you really are. And I feel like, I don't know, even in my 20s, I didn't know who I was, even though it was before kids and all that, I still didn't truly know who I was as a woman.
Yeah.
And I would have to say too, having children and raising children and running a household, just like you said, like that was a job in itself, right? A really one of the, probably the most important jobs you'll ever have, but then allow that to teach you about who you are and what you want to do with that next chapter.
Yeah, I think so. So Wendy, in the book, I really talk about just embracing and celebrating all those things that you did to raise that family and manage that household. I mean, I talk about, listen, after, if you raised two or three kids for 18 years, you probably made over 2,000 lunches. You choreographed the school drop-off and the sports teams and the chess tournaments and all of that. I personally think that moms should apply to NATO. They should run the world because they have all of this unpaid, you know, and they're such great, they're leaders, but we forget that those are skill sets. So you're 100% right. Lean into those amazing skills and attributes that you have that you did, you know, use in your life, because there's something there. Maybe you're a great culinary genius and you just thought that was called dinner.
Yes. Yep. Exactly. And even too, there's not always like some rush to figure it out right away. You don't have to like, okay, like take your time with it. If you're able to take your time with figuring out what you want to do, take your time. Like but I do feel like taking action really does help. Like, I mean, for a while there, I was just like numb with it. Like, I was like, I don't know what to do. You know, and I'm like sitting there, like going to Barnes and Noble, like the answer was inside books or something like that. In some ways they were, but I'm like, Wendy, you've got to just start taking action, do something.
Little baby steps. I think what stops a lot of, you know, the people that I know and certainly my clients is that they think it's seven steps ahead. It's so big. The goal, writing a book, starting a podcast, going to culinary school. What? Make a list. Mm-hmm. You know, just do one tiny action step towards looking for what you want to do, and it will lead you. Like, they all add up. There's that concept of the, you know, each is a paving stone to get to the garden. I think that that's true. You know, we could do garden metaphors all day long about this process.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, I know, right? Yeah. Planting the seeds and reaping what you sow and all that fun stuff.
And waiting. Yeah. Just back to your point, you know, you do plant the seeds.
Yeah.
But we're not like, okay, flowers, okay, carrots, where are you? No. You water, you get sun, you nurture, you wait. And seasons, right? Different seasons. Maybe as the kids go off, this is your season of rest, of pause, of turning inward. And that's okay as long as you don't just stay there forever.
Stay there. Exactly. Yeah. You had shared with me before we hit record, because you were asking the name of my book, which is Women Waking Up. And then you had said, oh, that's so interesting, because I pulled like an affirmation card. Share your affirmation card.
Well, this is fun. So what, just one little thing that I do, and I do it whether I'm jumping on a podcast or not, but in the morning, I do a meditation. Right now I'm on Gabby Bernstein's meditation app, and I just love that. I cycle through different ones, and then I pull an oracle card. I have been on Denise Lynn's soul oracle cards for 15 years. I mean, I think it's because they're happy. They're positive.
Yes.
I don't, tarot sometimes freaks me out when you get the death card. I'm like, okay. I'm a hard no for that. I mean, I can't find the positive.
I'm glad you didn't pull that card today.
No,
I'm
like, oh, God.
I'm going on the midlife makeover show, death card.
No, and it means like an ending, but still it shocks me. So I need happy-go-lucky. I pulled the card of awakening, which is so cool. And it says here, I am joyously awake and aware and ready for anything. And then it goes on in the book. But I just think that that was so fortuitous, both for me in this stage of my life, and for you and for your listeners. Yeah. Like, it's okay. And it's time to wake up and be alert to what's coming next and all the possibilities.
Yeah. And to awaken into something new, even to a new woman.
Yes.
And I've shared on this show before, and even on other podcasts I've been interviewed on, but when I had my midlife meltdown, and I had the vision of driving an RV across the country, like, this was my dream. I was like, I don't, and going back to what you were saying before, you don't have to have it all figured out. Just have an idea of, like, this is the direction I want to go. Don't know where it's going to lead to. Don't know all the steps, but I'm just going to take one step forward. And it's so fascinating, though. If you hang on to that dream, like it's your little baby, stars will align. You have faith. Yeah. Like, believe in your dream, believe in yourself. The shit will unfold like magic. It's absolutely amazing. But yeah,
I can't agree more. I want to jump down and like shout and say, yes. And you're reminding me, Wendy, of another sort of ritual that I do that has proved to be so amazing. And anyway, it's of course the gratitude journal we all know about, but the second step of the gratitude journal, you write what you're grateful for today. And then on the other side of the page, you write what you're grateful for as though it's already happened.
Yes.
And they're the things that you want to come into your life. I go back and look at those gratitude journals. I have manifested. Are we allowed to say that on this show?
Oh, yes. We manifest like maniacs around here.
I have manifested those things. Like, I have wanted a place in Maui for 25 years. I have vision boards. I have lists. I have Pinterest. My husband and I have, every time we've ever gone on vacation, we've looked. We now have a place in Maui.
And oh my gosh. That's
you know, it's probably like your experience with Portugal. It's just something that you energetically put out there and that you are a hard yes for.
Yep.
And then we follow the breadcrumbs to this magical place that never in our wildest dreams. We thought like a little tiny Airbnb, we'd pop in every now and then. No, this is better than I could have ever thought in my
life. Yes. And giving yourself that permission to dream whatever you want to dream and knowing that you deserve that. I mean, I will admit, going back to when I was 45 years old, I was having a total freaking meltdown in my life. I didn't think I deserved it. Yeah. And I was like, I thought about it for a minute and I was like, okay, more than a minute. Then I was like, well, Wendy, what if you did believe? Why don't you just try it on for size to see if you actually believed in yourself and that you knew that you deserved better than what you had in that moment? Like, why not? Let's just like, cause, and then I thought about, I was like, we are all literally brainwashed. We brainwash ourselves into thinking whatever we want to think. So I thought, if all that time I had brainwashed myself to not believing in myself and not thinking that I deserved more in life, then I was like, well, why don't I just do the opposite? It was like George Costanza on Seinfeld. Remember when he had opposite day? That's what I started doing with my life. I was like, I'm going to start doing the opposite because whatever I had been thinking and acting like was not working, I'm going to do the opposite. And sure enough, I was like, shit, this is cool. You can manifest what you want.
It works. That is so cool. I love that, Wendy, opposite. So everything that's not working for you, turn it on it, flip it over, turn it on its head.
Yes. Yeah.
And permission slips for every single one of your listeners. You have a permission slip to dream a dream, believe in your dream, and allow it to come to fruition.
No matter if you just got served with divorce papers, got fired from your job, or ran out of gas in the pouring rain, bad days are bound to happen. They happen to all of us. The key is to not let bad days turn into bad weeks, bad months, and a bad chapter in life. Too many crappy days can lead to depression, anxiety, lack of sleep, poor behaviors, and one big funky funk. That's why I created the 8 Happiness Hacks, a free download to help you overcome a bad day quickly and get you back to rocking your midlife. Please go to wendyvalentine.com/happiness. to receive your free download and start applying these simple yet effective methods to bring happy days your way. And I would have to say too, you know, for me, like it wasn't so much the dream of driving an RV across the country. It was the dream of this new woman, a new Wendy that was driving the RV across the country. And it was a woman that was healthy and she was happy and she laughed a lot. And she was at peace with herself. Yeah. That's what I wanted. It was the feeling that I was aiming for. She, as you know, just like in coaching, right? Well, like, well, why do you want to fit into that bikini? Why do you like you keep, you know what I mean? Like you keep digging and digging and digging. And then you finally get to the real reason why you want something or whatever that is, right? It comes down to how you want to feel in your life.
Yes. Do you know, like, just if we turn the tables for a second, do you know what it is, what feeling it was that you wanted to create? And then do you know the thoughts that you were able to?
Yeah. So it's interesting. It was all about freedom.
Yes.
And freedom is kind of like the word success. Like, well, okay, what's success? What is freedom? Freedom meant to me living my life my way, and freedom in my heart and my soul. No longer being tied down by the baggage of my past and bullshit relationships and material things. Like it was freeing myself of all of that, all of the stuff that had weighed me down that took me to that place of meltdown. I was like, I want rid of all of that. And it takes some time, right? So even like, yeah, you got the empty nest and you're like trying to redefine yourself and recreate a new life. It's not something that happens overnight. Like you have to have patience, like you said.
You do. And you need a starting point. And I think it's funny that we have such similar trainings because before life coaching, Danielle Laporte, all about the feelings, you know, your goals of the soul. So really talking about, you know, what are those core desired feelings? Mm-hmm. And basically if I ask anybody, whenever I start with a client, I say, how do you want to feel? Happy. Okay. Good.
Yeah. Happy. Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's go a little deeper. But happy is a good starting point because happy is almost, you know, it's the umbrella. Well, what makes you happy? My kids, you know, and then we kind of like, okay, what else? My husband or my, you know, junior league or maybe my pickleball. Okay, why? And you get deeper, but really it's this excavation and this identifying. It's really largely, at least it was for me and many of my clients, it's connection.
Yeah.
It's mm-hmm. wanting to, it's the combination for me also, freedom and connection. I want to feel connected to the people that I love. I also want connection to a purpose and to something larger in life. I want it to be on my terms. I need the freedom. It can't be how it used to be.
I love that word connection, and it kind of leads me to the word of fulfillment,
mm-hmm.
right? Because it's all about just being fulfilled,
yeah.
And it's in a different way, right? Of what, how we felt connected or fulfilled as we had this nest, this full nest, busy, active nest with all these things. Right. Then it's finding fulfillment and connection in different ways.
Right. And that's, again, where purpose comes in. But purpose is so loaded. It's like the big capital P, you know, so if you could change that to, you know, an F word and, you know, not the naughty F word, but like.
Yeah. I was like, oh, okay. Yeah,
let's just go there.
That's a good purpose.
Let's change it to focus. Small F focus. Think about what you want to focus on, or what is attracting your focus. Those again going back to the breadcrumbs. Purpose is big, and it feels enormous. Even for me, who I feel has found their purpose, that still feels too much. But if I say focus, I can focus on my empty nest moms. I can focus on, yes, my family. I can focus on myself and not be guilty about it.
Yeah.
You know, looking at things that way, I think, takes the weight and the enormity of it all off of it.
And I feel like your purpose evolves too. Like mine still is.
Yeah.
No, I'm like, I don't know what's around the corner. I mean, I tell you, you have to be okay with that too.
Yes.
I was the queen of having everything laid out in front of me, perfectly planned.
Yeah.
Such a perfectionist is like disgusting. Now I'm a recovering perfectionist and I'm on the no plan. Not to say that I don't have some type of idea.
Right.
But I'm also open to whatever can like come. Because sometimes, right, like if you don't, there was that video where you had to count how many baskets were made, and then you ended up not seeing the gigantic ape that came across the screen. Do you remember that?
That's so bizarre. Yes, I think I failed that.
Right.
So then, counting.
So like sometimes we will be so focused on one thing, we don't even see other things that come along on our path.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like it's like if you're leaping out of the, you know, the empty nest and you're like, okay, I'm going to do it. I'm going out there. I'm going to discover what I'm going to do. I'm going to become a new woman. Don't get so laser focused. You have to be open enough to like, if something else comes across, maybe even somebody you meet at Starbucks and this person, I don't know, works at Apple. And, oh, well, that's interesting. What do you do for Apple? Like, that could be, you know, I don't know, but just anything, don't get so laser focused, because some other stuff that can come along that will be so surprising.
I know you're so right on that. And you're reminding me of a Starbucks story that I think I put in the book, but that speaks to this perfectly. This is a client of mine, and she was at Starbucks meeting a girlfriend, and she had said to me, in a previous session, you know, I keep getting these mailers in the mail, and they are for like art gallery openings and this and that. They all have to do with art, and they're pretty, but I'm not, you know, I don't go to art openings. I'm not an artist. I don't know what's going on, but I seem to be getting many of them. And she's in Starbucks like later that week, and they have the big bulletin board of job openings and things going on. And there was another beautiful kind of flyer, and it had, you know, the phone numbers off of it, and it said watercolor classes. And she's like, okay, I get it. I'm not an artist. I don't know how to, but I'm going to go. And then she took the number. She signed up. It was literally happening that night. And she, you know, all the drama you do with yourself, she got to the car and she said, she was in the car before going in. She said, okay, just have to go for 10 minutes. If I don't like it, I'll make an excuse. Guess who loves watercoloring?
Isn't that fascinating? She followed the breadcrumbs. I have goosebumps.
Breadcrumbs, and she just needed to be open. So what you're saying about the person, it's staying open and being curious. And it's not staying in the tunnel of who we used to be. I mean, I think I said this before, but I failed. What was the course? Public speaking in university. Oh. Literally failed. I could not.
Look at you.
Oh, no, a complete failure because you had to get up and you couldn't. He gave you the topic and you had to talk about it. And I literally, there was vomiting, there was perspiration, there was fainting, there was everything, right? So I just had the thought always that I cannot public speak. And so this is so interesting. Maybe a month ago when I did my, not the virtual, but the live book launch opening. And it was at a bakery. It was so fun. I had my daughter there and I had a friend there. Right before going on to speak, I had not a panic attack, but I had a moment.
Just like a little.
And my daughter goes, what are you doing? I go, oh my God, I can't public speak. I never know what to say. And I was like, sorry, I hyperventilate. She goes, you speak on camera every single day. And I went, oh my gosh, I do. Literally, it's like I've gone back to that 18-year-old or 20 version of myself. And I had who I was. And I'm like, I can do this. Yeah. But I want to just normalize that we do that.
I know.
And even my version.
Yep. And thank God she was there to like, hey, you got this, Mom. You got this. But you know, and even if not, you have to cheer for yourself. You have to tell yourself, girl, you can do this. And I don't feel that you just have courage. You create courage. You create courage by taking action, by taking those steps, by getting up on the stage or you know, applying for that job, whatever, or going into the painting class. Like that's how you create the courage.
You're right. You have to take a tiny little action. You also have to be willing to fail at it. I've had many times where I have taken an action that I wanted the result. It didn't work out, but I got experience. I got some data and I'm still willing to do it. I learned something. So there's that. And then all the other times that I did it, I just think now when an opportunity comes my way, I say yes, and then I worry about it later. I go, sure, of course I'll do that. Yes. And I'm like, what? Are you kidding me?
I'm the same way. I know people think I'm like totally nuts, which I probably am. But I do. I'm like, you know what? I'll go for it. I mean, what's the worst that can happen?
Right. And then hopefully you won't vomit, you know, in person.
Yeah. But I think too, it's like you figure this stuff out as you go along. And then that in itself, those tiny little wins, like don't forget to celebrate those tiny wins, whether it's sending out your resume for the first time or going in for that painting class or whatever it is, like celebrate that, like give yourself a little pat on the back. This is so corny, you guys, but so I have to be able to publish like each episode, like my list, I have a to-do list that I do every single, you know, on Mondays and Thursday mornings. And at the very last check, my little check thing, it says, pat yourself on the back.
Love that.
I feel like this. I'm like,
I should have safety notes that say, good job. Good job, Wendy. Good job, Abby. Go girl. Yes.
And because you may or may not, I mean, hopefully you do have like a good support system, friends or family, they're going to cheer you on in whatever direction you decide to take. And even if not, you have you.
Yes. You have you. And building that relationship with yourself is so key.
Oh God, it is the best. It is the best.
And most important. I mean, it is the most important relationship of your life. And I don't know why we didn't learn that earlier on.
I know. I know. Yeah, I tell you, one of the greatest things that came out of, I was the solo RVer for the first year. And the best thing that came out of it is loving myself. Finally, I want to cry. But yeah, I didn't. And it's sad to think that I didn't for almost 5 decades of my life.
I know. Me too. Me too. No one would have known that on the outside, by the way. Like, I put up a great front. I mean, I think, you know, I liked myself enough, but to truly have my own back and celebrate. And there are times, Wendy, when I, you know, do things like, you know, maybe even after we get off the podcast, you'll hit end and record and it'll be done. And I'll be like,
yes. Oh, I know. Yeah.
You're not, you know?
Pat yourself on the back. Check. Yeah.
Yeah. Because the next time the opportunity or something else comes along, I'm going to remember this feeling too.
Yeah.
And that builds confidence. Yeah.
And you know, we have to remind ourselves of our strengths, our superpowers. And there's so much that I feel that you'll reveal as you go on. The more that you leap, the more the net will appear, the more that you discover how powerful you are. I mean, I think women, I might be partial, but are so amazing and so powerful.
Me too. Wendy for president. Okay. Throw that in.
I couldn't do it. Yes. Maybe in Portugal. Do they even have presidents there? I don't know.
I don't know. No, but we don't toot our horn enough.
I know. We're so good at criticism though, but it's like, no, let's get good at cheerleading.
Yeah. And it's a practice. It's something that we have to, I love that you said you have a list and at the end, your last check is pat yourself on the back. Why don't we all do that? Maybe when you do the gratitude journals, you know, I often say I am grateful for something. I mean, that I did a podcast, that I woke up, that I did 10 minutes on the bike, that, you know.
Yep.
Yeah. Little pats here and there.
Yeah. I mean, I can tell already you're a really good coach.
Oh, thank you.
You're definitely in your lane and your power.
It's and your purpose. Thank you. I appreciate that. I'm going to take the compliment. Yeah. Thank you. I also think it's patting myself. I also think it's easy to do something that you so identify with. I mean, coaching empty nest moms, writing about them, speaking with them, I literally am surrounded by and for my people. So easy.
Oh, your doggy back there is so cute.
Bossy wanted to make an appearance.
And you know what? No coincidence. Yesterday, talked about the people that you meet. There's this beautiful woman here in the RV park, and she invited me over for a little vino and some cheese. And she's had an empty nest for a while, but she's now like full-time RVer, and she's kind of like, she's in the now what?
Yeah.
And you know, just her and I chit-chatting about it, just as, you know, as girls, just no like coaching session, but just chit-chatting. And it's kind of like, all right, you know, it's like I could tell with her, she was trying to but she was remembering her strengths. What does she like? She's a really good cook. Like, okay, she likes to write. She's thinking about maybe podcasting. It's like, yes, 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 yes. And it's just any direction you go is totally fine.
I think that's something that your listeners need to hear. It doesn't matter which direction, but pick a direction and go all in. I am a Gemini and I do the splatter approach where, I mean, if I could be doing a podcast and writing and speaking and coaching and, you know, I like to do it all because I think I have a lot of probably ADD or something, but but pick a direction. And go all in on it and just see what you'll discover.
Yeah.
Because you can always go to the next one.
Yes.
They're all there. All directions are available for you.
Give yourself permission to pivot if you need to.
Absolutely. But take a step, any step.
Ah, Oh, you're so awesome. I have to go to Colorado and see you. Or Maui. Hello.
Yes. Hello. I know. Hello. Or wait, should I pop into Portugal?
Yes, I know. Yes. I do want to teach a retreat there someday, maybe next year after the book comes out.
Oh, that's fantastic. And I have been wanting to do a retreat in Maui forever. It's just
yes.
to wait for the pandemic and the prices to come down.
Oh, yeah.
You know, tickets there are just crazy.
Wow. So where can we find you?
You can find me at Allie, A-L-L-I-E, Allie Hill Coaching, everywhere, Instagram, Facebook, my website, and then the book is available.
Yeah, and the book, is that on Amazon?
It is. It's Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or wherever you buy your books, and it's The Girlfriend's Guide to Empty Nesting.
And you know what I'll do when we hang up here? I will add your book to my Amazon store. Yeah. So if you just go to amazon.wendyvalentine.com and go to the book section, you'll find Allie's book in there.
Good. And soon to be Wendy's.
I know. Oh my God. I can't wait. Oh my God. I got butterflies. I'll be delivering another baby, right? That'll be my new baby.
It is. No, it is. It is birthing another being into this world. It's fantastic. Oh, I can't wait.
Yeah, the empty nest is such a beautiful thing. The things that can come out of the empty nest, right?
If you're open to them, all you have to do is be open and curious. And I can say from my personal experience, this is, no offense to my daughter, who knows I love her to death, this is the best chapter of my life. Also, because she's so good, you know?
Yeah.
I loved the 24/7 with her. Wouldn't change that for a second. But that she's so good, and now I get to be good. My husband, like, the sky's the limit.
I know. Now it's your time.
Not just for me. I want everyone to know the sky's the limit for all of you.
Ah, beautiful. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Wendy. Love chatting with you.
Everyone have a beautiful day. Did this podcast inspire you, challenge you, trigger you to make a change, or spit out your coffee laughing? Good. Then there are three ways you can thank me. Number one, you can leave a written review of this podcast on Apple iTunes. Number two, you can take a screenshot of the episode and share it onto social media and tag me, Wendy Valentine. Number three, share it with another midlifer that needs a makeover. You know who I'm talking about. Thank you so much for listening to the show. Get out there and be bold, be free, be you.